Say good morning to all. Now we have had a wonderful time here thus far, and we have been looking at the bridegroom. Behold the bridegroom. Attention is called to him. We have sought to follow a line that we have seen in the scriptures. We looked at Matthew's gospel in chapter 22, where we saw divine persons securing some to enjoy their enjoyment, the marriage of the king's son, the proposal. It was proposed way back in eternity past that God desire, the Father desired a bride for the Son. We had seen where the Son purchased her by His blood, the pearl of great price, the treasure that was in the field, and the pearl of great price. He sold all that He had to secure that pearl. We saw the Spirit of God also in His movements here in bringing this bride to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you look at the work of the Spirit of God, it tells us He shall be in us. He shall be with us. He will guide us into all truth. He will take the things of Christ and reveal them unto us. And He's here to glorify Him. The ministry of the Spirit of God is to make Christ precious to the bride. Then we picked up Matthew chapter 25, where indeed there were letter G, there was that sense of the lust of the love, as it were, had weaned for the bridegroom. But the Spirit came. And the Spirit cried, "Behold the bridegroom." And again that love was rekindled, and that desire indeed for the bridegroom was gotten again. They had the Spirit of God. And we saw that that was the sealing of the Spirit. Because it's like the engagement, as was explained. Indeed, where a man gets engaged his bride and put on this ring to, as a token of his love for her. So the Spirit of God is like the earnest of our inheritance. Indeed, to give a present enjoyment of that day to come. And we also looked at and saw that this sealing means you are my property. You are my property. And it's real, it's authentic. It brings also identification. You are mine. We turned and we saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. About the espousal. I espouse you to one husband. And what was stressed is the sense of what Christ went through to secure His bridegroom. His bride, sorry. And now she is a lily among the thorns. And it was expressed that He went in, moving all the thorn bush to find that lily in the valley. And all the scars that He had. You see, in America, you may not know much about these thorns and stuff because they remove all of that for you. Okay? But if you're in the islands, you have to go through all these things to get what you need. So the scars are the scars of Calvary. Telling in language, "I love you." Then we saw that He's preparing her for the day of presentation. When indeed He shall present to Himself a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such things. And we saw the work of the Lord Jesus presently, His present ministry. And we took and we looked at the Esther, what was given to her. She was beautiful already. But indeed was given to her the oil of myrrh, the suffering love of Christ for 6 months. And she used this on herself. And all it brought, by application, it brought her to appreciate Christ's death for her on Calvary's cross. So as we use this suffering love of Christ, as we meditate upon what Christ has done for us, it will have the same effect on our souls. But also was given to her fragrant spices. And we saw that this is the work of the Lord Jesus, the moral glories of Christ. Look at him, saints. We dwell on him this morning. And I tell you, as the bride described him in the Songs of Solomon chapter 5, it tells us indeed, she described him from the head to the foot, the bridegroom. She says, look at him. Look at his head, bushy and black as a raven. Now, brethren, all, look at Brother Fritz. He lost all of his. And Brother Rick Sawadi. Huh? Great. But when it comes to the bridegroom, it means he remains the eternal youth. Nothing is diminished. It means his love remains the same. It's as the first day he loved the church is as though it's the, not as though, it is the same right on to the end. In this, in a journey across the desert, to come to bring him, to bring her to her true Isaac. I tell you, the Lord Jesus was there, sanctifying her by indeed his suffering love, indeed his miraculous and wonderful walk. Indeed, when you look at him, he's altogether lovely. But we also said they had other things. And the other things is that man in the glory. Saints, there is a man in the glory. And as we view him, it tells us we are going to change. A change will take place presently in our lives. And what was stressed in the exposal was, this suffering of Christ should make me faithful. Be a faithful wife. Because when you see what he has gone through. But the work of Christ. But we want to turn to some verses. We turn to that verse in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5. Let's read it again, please. Ephesians chapter 5. And we want to read verse 27. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with washing of water by the word. Verse 27, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. What a blessing. What a blessing. He has brought, he has worked. The next great event on this planet is not the removing of the tariffs on the things that are put on China. Okay? The next great event, I know some people is looking for the basketball game. Some people want the Raptors to win. And some want the Warriors to win. We have Canadians in here, you see. So the point remains, brethren, on God's calendar we are talking about. On God's calendar, the next great event is the coming of the Lord for his bride. The bridegroom, behold, the bridegroom cometh. It's what it said in Matthew, but rarely it's behold the bridegroom. The attention is called to him. And we are not occupied with events. We are occupied with the bridegroom. But God is telling us, listen, if he is going to come for us, he's going to explain how he's going to come. So in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he said, listen, I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep. Because if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them that sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. And since this is the occasion. The occasion is this. His heart is so moved. His heart is so touched. He wants to come for his bride. And he's going to come for her, come for her himself. The Lord, excuse me, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we who are alive shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. You know what that reception would be? You know what that great event is going to be? Listen, saints, you know what the scripture says? He that hath this hope in him purified himself as even as he is pure. The scripture tells us in the book of Peter, indeed he said, listen, God has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Saints, he is going to come, and he is going to come, and he will not tarry. The Lord wants to be with his bride, and he has paid indeed very, she's very costly, she is precious, she's beautiful, and he says, I want you to be with me, and I'm coming to get you. Most bride are being brought by others. The Lord Jesus says, no, I am coming for my bride. I am going to pick her up from this earth and bring her and present her to myself. I tell you, what a blessing. What a blessing. The Lord himself. In the book of Colossians. And chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And reading verse 5. Reading verse 4. He says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of your love which ye have for all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereby ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. Since the object of our hope is in heaven, is there we are going. Thank you very much. The object of our hope is heaven. Since it's there we are going. We are bound for glory. And we have this hope like an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, which cannot fail. We want to turn now to the consummation, the presentation and the consummation of this wonderful journey. The bride is being brought to glory. Let's turn to the book of Revelation, please. Revelation chapter 19. And reading verse 7. Let us rejoice. Let us be glad and rejoice. And give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. And the wife, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white or bright. For the fine linen is the righteousnesses of the saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. What a blessing. Rejoice. Let's rejoice. Let's be filled with joy. What a blessing. Divine persons at this moment. Heart is so full. I want to look. We in heaven. Think about the Father's joy. Think about what the Father purposed. That he's going to give his son a bride. And we looked at Abram when he told the servant, indeed, I want to get a wife for my son. And he went out. You know what joy it was to Abram's heart when this servant brought back this bride, as it were, indeed, to Isaac, and Abram saw her. You could imagine the heart of the Father rejoicing. Let us rejoice and be glad. It's first, it's divine persons, not us. Divine persons are rejoicing. And the Father is saying in his word, listen, you know, it's really the revelation of the heart of God, the Father, for Christ and the assembly. Look at where they are. Holy, blameless before me in love. There he is, and the Father is so indeed filled with joy. Indeed, because here it is, it's my son and his bride there. But then the joy of the son is his, oh, I tell you, he says, he look at her and he says, this is now the travail of my soul. I can be satisfied when I see indeed all that it costs me indeed for my bride, and now she is with me in this place of intimacy, this place of blessing, to be united to him. And then the Spirit of God rejoicing and says, my work is over. My work is over. Here she is. Here she is. You know, we were saying, in Africa, we commence letting us know on this side of the ocean, you are blessed. You are blessed. Because I tell you this, some people would have been filthy rich. You could imagine, a man wants to get married, and he says, he goes to the young lady's family and says, I would like to have your daughter in hand. What you have to offer? Well, I have 5 cows. Get out my yard. Just leave my yard. Then someone else come. What do you have to offer? Well, I have 20 cows. Hurry up, leave. You have to pay for the nursing of that young lady. You have to pay for her education. All of that is add it up. You have to pay for her. And you have to satisfy the parents. Listen, the Lord Jesus, when you think of the Lord Jesus, what he has gone through. For you and I, which comprise the bride of Christ. And the cries of the bride of the Spirit was, how can I lose desire for him at such a cost? And it was, we were challenged to look at him. Don't let your love be weaned, like in the book of Revelation and chapter 2. When he says they had left their first love. Is the church, is the assembly, where that truth was explained and expounded upon, that Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. That he may sanctify her by the washing of water by the word, to present to himself this glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That was the church that had been says, wow, what a revelation that was God has made known to us. He has opened up his heart indeed to us and indeed show us indeed the depths of the love of the Son and the Father for us. And for me indeed to write, now see in the book of Revelation, you have left your first love. I know your works. I know your labor and patience. But something we're missing. When you read the book of Thessalonians, it's work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. All those words are missing. We have left our chief love. But no, all this is over. He says, let us rejoice. I tell you, love, it was joy on both sides. You could imagine. I am happy to be there. I am so joyous indeed when I see the atmosphere. The atmosphere was so wonderful. It was charged, not with electricity and with and the lightning we had last night. It was indeed charged with love. The atmosphere indeed there was so indeed contagious that even those who were invited entered into the joy of the moment. You are invited. Many of us have been invited to weddings. We didn't get married, but we observe individuals getting married. I say, you know, saints, I thank God I got married on this side. Because when you get married in Europe, it's cold. It have no romance to it. It's like somebody throw cold water. You just go to the municipal building and you sign, and then after you return and they say you're husband and wife. What you mean that? I say, boy, I says when you go to a wedding in the United States of America and you see the bride well dressed and the bridegroom, you know, there and they exchanging their vows. I tell you, it's very romantic, man. And then after they might say, kiss the bride. Hey, listen. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful atmosphere. This is the atmosphere that God is saying. Indeed, if you get a foretaste, because it speaks of Christ and the church, a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. It speaks of Christ and the church. So it's a little foretaste of what shall be indeed fully blessed in the day to come. And I tell you this, we will be there. It is not on us to be brought there. And he's not letting anybody say, I send in a taxi to bring you, or some archangel. No, I am coming for you myself. I am going to bring you in because I want to bring you in to this atmosphere. Do you know God is so wonderful? When we look at the atmosphere in which we live, we could breathe. We don't have no tanks. It's teeming with life. All kind of animals on this planet. But the moment you leave this planet, you've got to take the atmosphere with you. So if you go out of space, you make sure you take this atmosphere where you are. You want to go down in the water? You better take the atmosphere if you want to live. Well, this is what God is saying. I have brought you into this atmosphere that we have been enjoying throughout the complex ages of eternity. But now he has brought in the bride, the Lamb's wife, to enjoy that atmosphere. I tell you, it's wonderful, brethren. And then he speak about the Lamb. The Lamb Why the Lamb? There are many glories in the book of Revelation of Christ. But he brings the Lamb. So the joy of it is based upon the sacrificial love of Christ. The Lamb. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before shearers is dumb. It's as the lamb, indeed, there he is. You know, you ever see a lamb killed? You ever been to a slaughterhouse? I tell you is, you've got to be a real butcher to kill a lamb. In other words, you cannot have a heart. Because if it's a goat fight right on to the end. If it's a cattle, I tell you, boy, they're trying to get out time they smell blood. But a sheep, a lamb, just walk straight to the slaughter and make no noise. And you say, how could this be? And when you look and compare that to Christ, you said, for the bride, I am not making no noise. I want you. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to lay down my life. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Even John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Then John again said, behold the Lamb of God. He lost two disciples. They left John and went after Jesus and says, Master, where dwellest thou? He said, come and see. They went and abode with him. And John and Andrew were never the same. Well, we are seen where the Lamb dwells. He's in the presence of divine persons. And the price that was paid. Then he says, the bride has made herself ready. We had yesterday the espousal, the time of engagement, waiting for the marriage. And we had expressed faithfulness to him in the days of his rejection. When he's away, he's at the right hand of God, waiting, as it were, to bring her to the Father's house. Those days should help me to be faithful. Help me to walk in faithfulness here. And then we had again yesterday, where indeed, as we spoke about the myrrh, the fragrance, fragrant graces, spices, and the other things. You know what the bride was doing there? As she occupied herself with this blessed one, the bridegroom, when her heart was rekindled and love restored, she was sewing a garment. She was sewing a garment. And it tells us as she made herself ready. I tell you, listen, she will be reflecting Christ. The moral perfection of Christ. The righteousnesses of the saints. Indeed, what is not that we became righteous because being justified by faith, we are faith, justified by faith, we have peace with God and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Indeed, we have access into this grace wherein we stand. But that is God's job judicially. But then it means this. Brethren, we got so caught up with him, the bride now, having been restored and having got a fresh glimpse of him. She says, listen, tell him I love him, I love him, I love him. Indeed, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that you doth so charge us? Man, my beloved is white and ruddy. He is fairest than 10,000. Indeed, his hair is bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are like eyes of dove, washed in milk. Filthy set his eye, his cheek is like a bed of spices. I tell you, it's only language of the East could express that. I just saw Brother Fritz's granddaughter and Sister Lolly too. And I look into her eyes. She has blue eyes. You know that, Brother Fritz? Yeah? Blue eyes. Say, wow, what a blessing. My eyes are brown. But when you look into Jesus' eyes, what do you see? I heard a brother, he missed out a line in a song, and he says, I look into his blue eyes. He forgot the part, you see. But when you look into the eyes of the Lord Jesus, you see eyes of love. You see love. And what it does, it attracts and it And it's like a magnet, it draw you to him. I tell you, even children want peace to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Suffer, little children, to come unto me. She made herself ready. She was arrayed in fine linen. Then it says of, you see, there's some garments the Lord Jesus wore according to, on the Day of Atonement, fine linen was used. Then on the day when he, when the high priest going to the presence of God, he had on another garment. You know what the scripture teaches us in the book of Hebrews? It says that he appeared here to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That was the linen garment. Then he appears into heaven to make intercession for us. That's the priestly garment of glory and beauty. But when he comes out, I tell you what kind of garment he's wearing. You know the scripture don't say. The scripture just says he's coming out. But the righteousnesses and the fine linen, I tell you, the brightness of it is only a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What he is. So it meant she was occupied. And they say sometimes, you know, in the East, in these Oriental countries, the bride had to sew her own garment. Her own garment. But she here was helped by the Spirit of God. Now since we know our time is limited, but in that same chapter we have a hallelujah chorus, you know. Let's read it, please. In chapter 1 we have, in verse 1, sorry, not chapter 1, verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Verse 3. Again, they said, hallelujah. And the smoke rose up forever and ever. That's the Babylon. Verse 4. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen. Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And he heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us rejoice. Right after that, boy, there's a wonderful chorus. Let us rejoice. You could imagine what a blessing. Her joy is complete. There's joy on both sides. You could imagine the bride is rejoicing. The bridegroom is rejoicing. The Father, the Spirit, and those who are invited. Blessed are those who are called. John the Baptist, you know, in the West, you have a best man. You know, he signs, he comes and witness your vows and says, and he says, and he signed alongside, indeed, your handwriting saying, listen, I agree with what he said. That's why a person cannot get married, just two persons. They need witnesses. So when you go to court and says, I didn't say so, indeed, the witness is brought and says, yes, you did. And I sign alongside you. Indeed. And this is how it was in the happy days of the United States of America. Today, they will tear up the paper. But it was commitment in those days. The laws were, indeed, listen here, you cannot go to court and says, well, I didn't mean that. He says, did your witness? Bring your witness. Did he say so and so? And if the witness say other, he got locked up. This is how serious it was. Today, brethren, the oldest institution, man has watered down, and it has come down to man's thoughts. But the fact remains, here it is, John the Baptist was like the best man. Because you know what John the Baptist says? He says, he that had the bride is the bridegroom. But I rejoice to hear the bridegroom's voice. So John is like at the wedding and saying, and hear the Lord Jesus speaking. Now this is application, brethren. Indeed, hear the Lord Jesus speaking and saying, boy. And you cannot say there for better or for worse, or richer for poorer, sickness and in health, till death do its part, because he's in the power of an endless life. Death is gone. All these things are gone. It's only for good and good and good and blessing. So there he says, John the Baptist was called, Abram will be there, and Isaac, and all those of the, but they are not the bridegroom. The sense of men that were born, John the Baptist is the greatest of them all. He greater than Moses. He greater than even Isaiah and all the prophets, because he was the heralder and the point and the one who pointed to the bridegroom. And now, you know what happened? Indeed, John, indeed, will not even be part of the bride. What a privileged place we have. Say amen.
Amen.
Yes, privileged place. How can I be unfaithful? You know, I tell you, brethren, personally, I say to people, there is some experiences I don't want to know. I don't want to know what it is to walk away from the Lord. I don't want God give me that experience, please. I don't want it. I don't want to know what it is to be unfaithful to my wife. I don't want to know it. These things I don't want to know. I don't want to know what it is to just tell the Lord, no, I'm not doing that. I don't want to know that. What I want to know is, I want to enjoy what God has secured for me in Christ. And he has given us the Spirit. You know, after a thousand years, this bride is as beautiful as she was when she got married. The scripture tells us. Let's turn to it, brethren. This same in the book of Revelation here, chapter 21. Chapter 21, verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had seven vials full of the seven last plagues. And talk with me, saying, come hither. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit. Sorry. And he carried me away in the spirit to that great and high mountain. And show me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And a light was like unto a stone most precious, even like unto a jasper stone, clear as crystal. After 1,000 years. Look at Revelation chapter 21, please. And verse 1, 2, and 3. He says, I saw a new Jerusalem. No, sorry. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Chapter 21 verse 9 going on tells us after 1,000 years, and you look at this bride, you says, what is this? What has God done? Look at her. I will show you the Lamb. Show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. I told the brethren yesterday, I've been married for 41 years. Now, I will say to JT, I'll say to all the young marriage couples, you ain't have nothing on us. Nothing on us. Okay? You know, they're holding hands and showing all this. Hey, let me tell you that. Brother Fritz could tell you, he loved his wife more now than when he got married. It gets better as the time go on. Say amen, John.
Amen.
Yes. Get better. It's like wine. As it age, it gets better and sweeter indeed, because when you just get married, there's a lot of adjustment. After a while, why? I tell you, we like oil on butter and smooth as ever. Why? Because after this long 1,000 years with her bride, with his bride, his wife, indeed with her husband, so to speak, I tell you, you become one. Indeed, you become one. They know how to think. They know what you want to eat. I tell you, my wife know what I like. And as she come home, she says, oh, I'm cook something you don't like. Because she knows. Oh, she says, oh yes, I know what you want. I have a nice steak for you. Boy, I tell you. Because why? After a while, you know certain things. But you know what happened today? People believe everything should fall into place. Well, the Lord Jesus said, before she brought her to glory, she was in the mind and really captured his heart, his thoughts, and indeed he was a tremendous Adam and Eve, a compliment to Christ. Compliment to him. After 1,000 years. So, JT and
Steve,
you ain't have nothing on us, brother. Okay? You have nothing on us. The love is deeper. It is real. It's not a show. Indeed, and our wives are stuck with us. We're not perfect. Not perfect. But I tell you this. It is a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life. I'll recommend it if the Lord give you that blessing. Because the scripture says some make themselves eunuch. Some are born eunuchs. So not every brother will get married and every sister. But the fact is this, brethren, all God is showing to us, he says, I want to show you a picture of Christ in the church. And all it is, after 1,000 years, she's wonderful. Do you know, in closing, hear what she says. In Revelation chapter 22. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. It is the heart of the bridegroom. Verse 12. And behold, and the word behold, as the brethren has said already, is to really call attention, is really to grip me, is really to have me listen. Call my attention to behold. I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. And then he speak about, I am Alpha. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. In the Alpha and Omega, he is the Word of God. The first and the last, he is the Creator. And then after, it tells us, and the beginning and the end is Creator. And the first and the last, his person is God overall, blessed forever. This is the one who said, be holy, come quickly. But then you find that the spirit and the bride captures the heart of the bridegroom. Hear what he says in verse 17. And the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that thirst come. And let him that is, and let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the waters of life freely. The spirit and the bride is saying to the bridegroom, please come. I want to hug you up. I want to be with you. This is the cry of the heart. Do you feel this? Lord Jesus, come. I want to be with you. Indeed, I have tarried. I have on this journey too long. Indeed, and I'm longing for you. Indeed, I tell you, I count the days when I was going to get married. But it seems as though it was taking so long. And when it came down to about 4 days, I said, Lord have mercy. The last few days seems as though it was so long that it says you couldn't wait. You couldn't wait for the moment. And I tell you, my brother Innes was there. And then they tell me my wife appeared. I started to say, oh God, thank you, it's over. The wait is over. And then after this, they tell us to rise. And they start singing, the wife coming up the aisle. And my bow tie, I think I had on a bow tie, I was fixing, brother, and he said, put down your hand. I tell you, it was really a happy day. Here, the spirit and the bride is saying, do you feel that in your heart? Do you feel the cries of the spirit in you? The spirit and the bride said, please, Lord Jesus, come. And he responded, you know. Hear what he says in verse 20. He that testified of these things said, surely I come quickly. And he said, amen. I come quickly. The coming of the Lord. And in chapter 21, it gives us the eternal side of things. She is holy in character. She is heavenly in character. Indeed, and she's coming out of heaven. And the thing is, she is going to be, indeed, listen, is what Christ is to her, she will reflect what is from Christ to the people. Listen, I tell you, we'll say with the words of Scripture, come, Lord Jesus, come. Take your waiting people home. But I tell you this, the Lord is more eager, his desire is much stronger, and his love is more deeper in comparison to ours. We don't know the joy of that day, but we have a foretaste of it. You know, I would like us to sing that song, there is coming a day where no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the skies, no more tears to dim the eyes. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. May God bless us as we wait in glad anticipation, in faithfulness to him when he comes to call us to himself. So Brother John, would you get on your guitar, please, and let us sing that one. There's coming a day. We know that one, right? Yeah. Yes, man.